Last week we started from the beginning again, Perek Aleph, and did roughly half of Perek Aleph. But I was inspired this morning, Kavod Rosh Chodesh Adar, to jump and treat some of the Simcha Prakim of Tanya. And maybe we'll do that for a couple weeks, I guess, Kavod Adar, I guess. We'll see exactly how it goes. So that was my idea, was to... Since we already went through the whole Tanya in order and saw the progression from chapter to chapter and the flow and the themes and so forth, we did that last semester. So now, as I promised last semester, we're taking the parachutes, jumping out of the airplane, and landing in the Tanya to sort of get a grounds up, close up view of some more of the details and some of the nuances of the Tanya. Whereas last semester, that was not the focus at all. So we're going to jump straight to chapter 30, Perek Lamed. I mean, of course, Simcha comes up in many locations. We're going to go to Perek Lamed. Now, obviously, Simcha is not something you could just talk about in one chapter and boom, you're done, and you've got Simcha, now you know exactly what to do. It's obviously an ongoing discussion, and there are, of course, different angles and different facets and different types of Simcha, and so on and so forth. But we'll see how the Alter Rebbe treats it over here. Okay, we might as well just start. Perek Lamed. Oid zeis yosim melibo l'kayim memer azal. A person has to take to their heart to fulfill what it says in Pirkei Avos. V'hevi shfal ruach b'fnei chol ha'adam. That you have to be of lowly spirit in front of everybody. Right away, a few points. Bifnechol ha'adam. The more common girsa is adam, not ha'adam. In fact, in the Tilas Hashem Siddur, the Siddur that was compiled by the Alter Rebbe himself, which contains Pirkei Avos, it's in the Siddur, of course, because we say it on Shabbos afternoon in the summertime, after Mincha. So in that Pirkei Avos, it says, V'hevi shfal ruch bifnechol adam. But in the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe Davka chooses this girsa b'fnechol ha'adam. And the reason is that adam means only a yid. Ha'adam means every person. So right away, the shfal ruach, the humility that a person has to have is in front of kol ha'adam, every single human being. A person must be shfal ruach. How do you translate exactly shfal ruach? Not exactly sure. Maybe humble is a good translation. Anava, usually we say humble, but Shfal Ruach is also kind of like humble. Of lowly spirit. Now, the Mishnah says, Veheve Shfal Ruach. You should be Shfal Ruach. Implying that, maybe it's more, even more than implying, maybe it's outright saying, that you have to do much more than act humble. Acting humble is a good thing, but it's not a v'hevi shfal ruach. You have to actually be shfal ruach. Faking it, okay, I guess that's better than nothing, maybe. But that's not enough, the Mishnah says. V'hevi, you have to actually, on the inside, if you're not humble, on the inside you have to transform and become one who is shfal ruach. V'hevi shfal ruach. In front of who? Kol ha'adam, every single human being. That's what he says now. Veheve be'emes lamitoi. When the Mishnah says veheve, you should be, yeah, be'emes lamitoi. Take. You should really, truly be humble. Bifnei chol ha'adam mamish. And he continues, it's like schlepping it out. When I said kol ha'adam mamish, I actually meant kol ha'adam mamish. Afil bifnei kal shebekalim. That includes even kal shebekalim. What's kal shebekalim? I don't know how to translate that either exactly. The lowest of the low. The most uneducated, unsophisticated, unlettered person that's out there. You have to be Shfal Ruach in front of him also. Now, that seems odd. Me? A big Talmud Chacham? A Groyser Rosh Yeshiva? I have to be Shefal ruach b'fnei chol ha'adam, even kal shebakalim? Come on. How could that be? That doesn't make sense. He should be shefal ruach to maybe before me. After all, when someone like myself, a big Talmud Chacham, comes in the room, Shulchan Aruch is supposed to stand up for me, right? That's what it says. It's such a din. And I should be shefal ruach before him? What are you talking about? Afilu kal shebakalim? Come on. So first of all, how are you talking such a thing? And second of all, how would it even be possible that I should be, and again, veheve, be'emes lamitoy, I should truly be on the inside, not just the outside, not just the way I act, but the way I actually feel, and the way I actually am on the inside, I should veheve shalruch b'fnei chol hodem, I feel in front of kal shebakalim. How's it possible? So, questions so far, or comments?
I actually do have a question.
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean by to make yourself, like, lowly or humble? Like, what does that mean exactly? Like, it sounds a little bit vague to me. Like,
okay.
Like, I'm sure it doesn't mean to, like, be, like, down on yourself. Like, so what, like, what does it mean exactly?
Okay, that's a good question. God willing, we're going to get to that a little bit later in the parak. If we don't, I mean, we will get to it, but if I gloss over it, if it slips by me, please
sure.
Remind me. But for now, hold that thought. V'hainu. So how are we going to accomplish this? How are we going to truly be Shfal Ruch in front of everybody? Do not judge your fellow until you have reached his place. What does it mean? M'koymoy. Right, his place. What's Makoymoy? Well, Makoymoy could be understood, I think, in one of two ways. It could mean like more of like a spiritual type thing, not a literal Makoym, but a spiritual environment or my spiritual accomplishment, etc. Or it could mean Makoymoy, Mamish Makoymoy, Mamish the place where you are located right now, geographic. I think it could be maybe either way. The Alter Rebbe fleshes this out. Ki mekoymoy gorim lo lachtoy. It's his location. Again, maybe it's the spiritual location. Maybe it's the geographic location. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's a combination. I don't know. Ki mekoymoy gorim lo lachtoy. Not his fault. It was the mokoym where he found himself. That was gorim lo lachtoy. Liyos panasos lelech pashuk kol hayom nevach. He's got to go make a parnasa, and he sits in the middle of the shuk all day long. Kol hayom, that's where he made his job. That's his profession. He's in the marketplace. He sits there in the marketplace at the corner, whatever it is. And what happens when you sit there all day long? No, you see what's on the billboards. You don't have to go to the shuk for this. You can walk around anywhere in Manhattan. That is the shuk, I guess, right? It's not your fault. The posh in front of you. Not like, I wasn't even looking, but it was right in front of me. What happens? You see it, and again, maybe I didn't even seek it out. I didn't go to look at it. I didn't look in a place that was inappropriate. I was driving on the highway, and it was a billboard right in front of me. What do you want from me? How could I not look at it? It's right there. I'm supposed to take my eye off the road? That's dangerous. You see it? What happens? You want it. You desire it. Because you're a normal human being. So of course, why would you not desire it? It's desirable. And your yetzer is mamish burning. Everybody's yetzer burns. No, ketonur. Like a baker's oven. How long does the baker's oven burn for? Well, I'm not a baker, but I think it's all the time. The oven's constantly going, constantly producing new bread for the bakery. So it's a constant bren, a constant burn of the Yetzer Hara. Like it says in Yeshayah. It's Nebach. It's not the guy's fault. He sits there, that's where his job is, his parnasa, that's where either that's his spiritual place where he is, his geographic place. And v'ha'ayin rei, v'ha'lev choymed. It's not his fault. Someone who infrequently goes to the shuk because he's a ben Torah, he's a bacher, he's a shiva bacher, a kohel younger man. V'roiv hayom yoshev bebeiso. He sits at home all day. Or sits in the base medrash all day, learning, Baruch Hashem. So what's there to see in the base medrash? Nothing. Nothing to see. So what's there to have a taiva for? Nothing. And further, maybe it's even more. V'gam im hoylech alayim b'shuk, even if you went all day to the shuk, and you weren't sitting in the base medrash all day, maybe you're just not such a passionate person. Maybe you don't have as burning of a Yetzer Hara as Chaim Yankel has. So even if you were to be sitting in his exact same geographic location and seeing the exact same things that he would see, no, it doesn't affect you the same way. Everybody's different, right? Everybody's Yetzer is different. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Eizehu Gibor HaKoyvesh Es Yitzroi. Not HaKoyvesh Es HaYetzer. HaKoyvesh Es Yitzroi. Not Yitzri. You don't have to be Koyvesh my Yetzer. It's be Koyvesh your Yetzer. And that makes you a Gibor. Your Yetzer, whether it's a strong Yetzer, or whether it's not such a strong Yetzer. And again, Yesh V'Yesh. HaKoyvesh Es Yitzroi, that makes you a Gibor. So maybe it could be that this guy that you've been judging all day long, look how his mom is such a kal shabakalim, because he does this and he does that, and oh, you know what else I heard about him? Meanwhile, you sit in yeshiva all day long, you learn gemara all day, what's there to look at anyway? And by the way, you're not such a baltaiva anyway, by nature. Some people are like that, believe it or not. Some people are not such Baalei Taiva, so even if they were to go out into Times Square and see everything that there is to see, it wouldn't impact them as much as someone else. So you can't judge the other person. It's not fair. It's not appropriate. How would you do if you had their Yetzer? How would you do if you were in their matzav, in their mokoim? Ask yourself that question before judging another person. This will contribute to the feeling of shfal ruach. I don't know what's going on inside. All I know is what's on the outside. I know where he sits. I know what he does. I might even see what he does every day. I might even see his averus, mamash on the table. Nah, you cannot judge a person by what they do. Because who knows what his yetzer is? Who knows the way that his mokoim contributes to who he is and what he's doing? How would you be if you were plunked down in that location with that same yetzer? Would you pass? I don't know. Now, being that we just established that this guy that we're blaming for everything essentially is to blame for nothing. It's mamish not his fault because of his Yetzer Hara, because of his Mokim, and so on and so forth. Oh, so great. He's off the hook. Perfect. No. Ein minut. He's not off the hook either. There's no get out of jail free card over here. That's what the Alter Rebbe addresses now. V'hini be'emes, gam mishu humuchum mo'ed b'tivoy. The guy who has the burning Yetzer Hara of Parnasasa, who he lihiyos miyoshvei kronos kol hayoyim, that guy we just described, who we just let off the hook, and we said he has a get out of jail free card. No. He doesn't have that card either. Ein loy shumis natzlus al chatov. He doesn't get out of jail free. A sin is a sin. Umikre rasha gomer al asher ein pachet al kim leneged einov. He's a rasha. He's no averus. He's a rasha. There's no free pass. Ki hoyo loy lihis apek volim shal ruch taivaso shebelipo mipnei pachad Hashem. Haray kol maisav kumesh chazleil. He should have restrained himself. Aye, he has a burning yitzhara. Aye, his mokim is yitzhara, is yitzhara, etc. Too bad. Hoyo loy lihis apek. He could have anyway restrained himself. And he should have restrained himself. The fact that he did not restrain himself, so he's called a Russia. we're not going to judge him. Taka, we're not going to judge him. That just doesn't mean he gets out of jail free. It's not a free pass to do whatever he feels like. Like it says earlier in chapter 17, that Hamoyach Shalit al Halev Betul Dasek, the Moyach rules the heart. So even though his heart is burning, because remember, Ha'ayin Reyev Halev Chaymed, and that means his lev is Chaymed, is burning. Yeah, but the Moyach can control the lev. No, so use your Moyach. You have a brain? Yeah, good, use it. And Hoya Loyli Zapik, Volim Shal, Ruch Chayvos, and control yourself. Comments or questions? Now, okay, so an amazing thing, I think, is happening almost beneath the scenes over here. We started out, Perek Lamed, that I'm a big guy and there's a Kal Shabakalim Nebach. Too bad for him. How can I possibly feel Shval Ruch before him? But now we kind of turned it around a little bit, right? Kal Shabakalim, it's not his fault, he had Sahara, etc. Even though really he's held accountable for his actions as well. We're not letting him off the hook, but I'm not going to judge him because who knows his makayim and so on and so forth. But in a sense, beneath the surface here, I don't have the same challenges as him. Why not? Different makayim, yeah. I don't have the same Yetzer as him. Maybe his Yetzer is stronger than mine. Why? What? I can't handle a stronger Yetzer? Yeah, maybe not. The Alter Rebbe, and again, it's almost like under cover over here, just pulled out a fantastic Limud Schus of every Kal Shabakalim. You think you're so big because your brain is in Shas the whole day. And Nebach, he's Kal Shabakalim. No. You know what Nisyonis he has? Sitting there in the Shuk all day long? Ha'ayin Raya, V'Halev Chayim. You know the tremendous, almost debilitating challenges he has? Well, guess what? Hashem gave him those challenges. He didn't give them to you. That itself is a proof that the Abishah believes in him, in a sense, more than he believes in you. That the fact that the Abishur gave such tremendous challenges and such a powerful burning Yetzahara to the Kal Shabakalim, the Alter Rebbe is Megala the Toiv even within the Kal Shabakalim. Because the fact that the person is given such challenges shows that Hashem believes that he can actually overcome these challenges. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask us to do anything that he doesn't think we can actually do. So the fact that Hashem puts another person into a almost debilitatingly challenging matzav, mokoyim, is an indication of the tremendous koyches that person has to overcome those challenges. So the Kal Shabakalim, still Kal Shabakalim, but now there's a tremendous toiv within the Kal Shabakalim as well. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Next question.
And please.
What about people who choose to put themselves in positions that they didn't have to be in? Like, what if you have a guy who chooses to be in the Shuk just because he wants to be in the Shuk, but doesn't actually have to be there?
That's a good question as well. One second. Well, for the sake of simplicity, one possible answer to that question is that he didn't understand the situation he was putting himself in. It's like I once heard from an older shliach, an older Lubavitcher shliach, and don't quote it out of context, I'm not sure exactly he meant it literally, but if I knew, he once told me, how difficult shlichus would be, I never would have gone. I heard him say other times, by the way, that it was the greatest schus of his whole life, is to be a shlich of Lubavitcher Rebbe. But he was saying after years after some 20 years on shlichus, many challenges, financial challenges, spiritual challenges, raising your children in the middle of nowhere, all the different challenges that come along with shlichus. So a Beinoni, or at least someone who's trying to be a Beinoni, as the Tanya is counseling us how to do, should recognize that, number one, the sinner has no excuse. That's not really my issue. That's his issue. The sinner has no excuse. Again, as it says that Hoyoloy Lisapik, Volimshol, he should have, that guy has to take accountability for himself. So number one, the other guy, Hitaka, has no excuse, but that's not really my issue. Nevertheless, it's wrong for me, the aspiring Beinoni, to disparage another person, even a Kal Shabakalim, to denigrate him, to make fun of him, to say, ah, come on, a sinner. None of this business. Not on the, I shouldn't actually say it. I shouldn't even think it.
I think you could also say,
yeah,
going back to your question, that a person who chooses to put themselves in a spiritually challenging situation, that in of itself is almost, that is part of their makom, their part of their religious situation, wherever they're holding, is reflected in the fact that they choose to put himself in that place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's right, but sounds good.
It's interesting.
Yeah. The point is, how many factors are there in a person's life? So I should never denigrate another person, even Kal Shavakalim. And Adriyab of Hevesh Fal Ruach Bifnei Chol Adam, I should mamish be of, I've given myself lower than him. How? Why should I view myself as lower than him? Oh, you know why? Because all you see is what he's doing. You only see the externalities. What about what's going on the inside? What kind of struggle does he have? Do you have a struggle? Maybe for you, you don't even have a struggle. Or, I mean, we have a struggle, most of us, except for tzaddikim. But what if my struggle is just not as intense as his struggle? So yeah, for me to not look at something I shouldn't look at is not that difficult. You know why? Because I'm not as hot-blooded as others. Okay. You know, for me to learn Gemara for 3 hours a day, I kind of like it. It's not that difficult. Did you ever try to learn for 3 hours and 10 minutes? There you go. If not, you're worse than him. Maybe for him, for a millisecond, not to look somewhere he shouldn't be looking, is mamish a milchama gedoyla. And for you to learn 3 hours Gemara straight is pashut cake. Easy. Like slicing warm butter. Nothing. Easy, no problem. Did you ever learn 3 hours and 10 minutes? Ooh. Now we're talking. You got to do a little bit more than you're accustomed to. It's lunchtime. Lunchtime. What do you want from me? Oh, lunchtime. I see. So in other words, you're not willing to fight a milchama. Not willing. That guy in the shuk, maybe every moment is a milchama atzuma inside of him. And he is struggling like you've never struggled. And he's failing half the time. Or most of the time. But he's struggling. We get graded on effort. Not that it's about grades, chas v'shalom, but it's not just about what you accomplish or what you do. It's about the effort. So, v'hevi shval ruach b'fnei chol ha'adam, yes. Because it very well might be that he is actually exerting more effort and has a greater struggle than I do. In which case, taka, I am below him. Be'em islamitoy, like he says earlier. Maybe I really am below him. In other words, we're judged not only by our accomplishments, but also our efforts. And therefore, me, the aspiring Beinoni, who's learning chapter 30 of Tanya, should ask myself, what would happen if I was faced with the same challenges? And again, the subtle toiv that the Alter Rebbe is revealing to us here, that the Kal Shabakalim, who has perhaps more challenges than I do, that's actually an indication that he also has great koyach to deal with those challenges. That itself is humbling. And if my struggle is to learn 3 hours and 10 minutes, and his struggle, but I'm anyway learning 3 hours, and his struggle is not to look at all the things he shouldn't look at, it might be that one of those things is more important or less important, or of greater significance or lesser significance. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter if the issue is a big issue or a small issue. It's kind of irrelevant. I don't want to say it's irrelevant, chas v'shalom. That could be quoted out of context. Not irrelevant, but we're getting graded, so to speak, for effort as well. It's taka milchama. It's a big battle. Lishbor hayetzer aboyer keish lohava mipnei pachad Hashem. It's mamish a battle. Chmoy nisoyin mamish. Mamish like a nisoyin, like a test. V'hilchach tzorich kol adam lefi mashu makoyim madrigos b'avodas Hashem. Every single individual based on their own makoyim in avodas Hashem. Lishkol v'livchon ba'atzmoy. He has to ask himself. Forget about the other guy. Who cares about him? Not chas v'shalom, who cares about him, but in this context. Forget about him. I have to lishkol v'livchon ba'atzmoy. I have to ask myself. Im hu oyver Hashem be'erech v'chinas mochama tzumo kazu. V'nisoyin kazu. Kazeh. Am I fighting a battle like him? That's the real question. Am I struggling? Am I waging a war? Am I even willing? Maybe if I'm not doing it, am I willing to do it? That would be at least a step in the right direction. Maybe I'm not doing it, but you know, I'm willing to do it. Or maybe even less than that. Maybe I'm not yet willing to do it, but I want to do it. Or maybe even I wish I wanted to do it. There's different levels. So many different levels here. But at least something. To ask myself, where am I holding? That's the Shval Ruach. How would I do if I had his tests? Am I willing to fight the same battle that he fights? For example, going b'avodas hatfilah b'kavana. Do I daven b'kavana? Lishpech nafshel lefnei Hashem b'chol koichei mamish, pouring out my heart to Hashem, ad mitzvah yanefesh, squeezing out my nefesh. Am I waging a battle with my body and my animal soul that are hindering my kavana during tefillah? Crushing them, breaking them, crushing them, offer. Am I breaking, crushing my yetzahara before davening? And even if I am, having the proper hachana for davening. V'gam b'shasat tefillah. But what about during davening itself? Now, liyagei atzman b'ges nefesh b'ges basa, k'mon shukhozal kam marichus. Am I mamish toiling in the avodah of avodah sat tefillah? V'chol shalo yigili de midazul, lilochim min gufim, mochom ha'atzum kazu. And if I'm not, adayin lo yigili v'chines v'erach mochom ha'sayetzer abor k'esh lo'ava. Then I'm not even holding. Chlal not. Liyos nichna v'nishma b'nipnei pachar Hashem. I got a long way to go. And benching b'chein min berchas hamozoin, v'chol berchas hanenin v'hamitzvot v'chavana, benching and berchas hanenin and doing the mitzvot v'chavana, berchas hanenin v'hamitzvot, that's the way to read it. It's not berchas hanenin comma, v'hamitzvot v'chavana, it's berchas hanenin v'hamitzvot v'chavana. Am I saying brachos properly? Whether it's mitzvah on achilas matzah, or on hanich tefillin, whatever bracha might be, all the more so, I don't need to say that if I have to say a bracha with kavana, then certainly kavana's hamitzvah is lishma, and certainly I have to do the mitzvah with that, a little bit of kavana. If I have to say the bracha with kavana, then all the more so, the actual mitzvah. Same thing with learning. To learn more, this comes back to learning 3 hours and 10 minutes, instead of the 3 hours I was anyway comfortable learning. Lulmoid harbe yoise mecheftsoi uretsoi noi. Lefitivoi regulusoi ale mochomatsumog in gufoi. That's answering the question. Person who says, I don't have time to learn. I work all day, I don't have time to learn. So, how am I supposed to keep up with the guy in yeshiva all day? The answer is, you're not. Lefi lulmoid harbe yoise mecheftsoi uretsoi noi. You don't have to keep up with anybody else in their learning. You just have to learn more than you are otherwise accustomed to learning. That's all you have to do. If you're accustomed to learning 10 minutes a day, good, then push yourself to learn 10 and a half minutes. That might be a mochamatsuma. And if you do it, givaldik. If you learn a little bit more than your nature, how is a mochamah ketana? That's a small mochamah. You can't compare. A little war is a little something is a little something. Comments, questions? What's the difference if it's a surmei ra, malu b'chinas asei toiv? If it's a surmei ra, turning away from evil, or if it's asei toiv, doing good? Hakol hi mitzvahs ha-melech ha-kodesh yochid miyuchad baruch hu. Every single mitzvah, the little ones, the big ones, mitzvahs Hashem. Hashem said to do it. It's all the same, in this sense. V'chein b'sha'ar mitzvahs, b'frat b'dav shabab mamoin. Specifically with something like money. Money is very dear to many people. K'may avodus ha-tzadok v'chagavna. Giving tzedakah is not always easy for people to pull out every penny. No good, so pull out every penny and then pull out a few more. Mamish should be a mochama. That's the way to do it. If you ask yourself for real, was I really surmeira? I really turned away. You have to ask yourself that question. Lost my place. She'ein esor legamer meharab ba'kol mikol koil, but mokim shetorech lemochom matzum keirach hamal. Ba'afilu pochus merach hanal. Even less, but at least something can go in lahafsik be'emtzos sicha noe. You're in the middle of saying a geshmak a maise that you shouldn't be saying. To stop in the middle, that might be very hard. That might be a mochom or a siper begunas chaveiroi, or saying something not nice, something denigrating about another person. Ba'afilu gnai katan v'kal moed, even a very small thing. Not mamish lashon hara, because I wouldn't say lashon hara. Come on, but something very small. Afshu emes, even though it's true. Vafilu kedei lenakos atzma, even to clear your own name. K'noy the mahada amar of Shimon la'aviv. Rabbeinu Hakadosh, there was an issue of a get, and who wrote the get? So he says, lav ana kasve. I didn't write the get. Yehuda chayit kasve. Yehuda the chayit wrote it. Shouldn't say it. Just to cleanse yourself of something. Get yourself away from Lashon Hara, he said to him. How could you say something like that? Ayin shom b'gemara v'reish perek yud d'bav abasra. B'chai gavna kam emila d'shricha tuva. Many, many examples like this. B'frat b'nyan kadosh atzim mutar loy. And specifically in the areas that are things that are mutar. Kadosh atzim b'mutar loy. Right, kedushim to you, shumid or aisa, which causes kedushim to you, viskadish them. If we're going to viskadish them, goimer. Gan diversifik chamers b'divertayir v'chul. Okay, this is a whole arichos. Every little thing that I do to ask myself, am I truly waging a battle here? Ela shakol eila v'chayitza be'nehem me'avunish halim dosh ba'kevav. These are all so-called little things. And they seem as if it's not even a big deal. It's mutter already. It's happened so many times. Who even notices? He's talking. And he desires a relationship with Hashem. Wants to be close to Hashem. God you are held accountable if you do not overcome, if you don't wage a battle with and overcome your yetzer. On this level that we're describing before of a tremendous mochamah, it's much worse than the guilt of a kal shebakalim who sits in the shuk all day long, who they are rochayik me Hashem v'teirasei, far from Hashem and the Torah, Their guilt is not as much as someone who's actually close to Hashem, who knows what's going on. Close to Hashem and his Torah avoda. These are doinois, the intentional sins become like shkogois, accidental. This comes back to your question. That in a sense, like if you put yourself into it on purpose. What does it mean on purpose? There's a doinois, nice and kishagogois, accidental. Again, like the mashal I gave before of a child who breaks something expensive, but they don't even realize what they did. Zedoynos naisalim kishgogos. They don't even know what you did. They don't appreciate the true value. Earlier this week, I asked him what to put on tefillin, and he said no. So there's two explanations for how that happened. Either I didn't ask it from my heart, I didn't really mean it. And as the Gemara says, Dvarim ayotzim min alev nichnasim al alev, so maybe I didn't really mean it. And that's why he said no. But another possibility is, he didn't appreciate the value of what he was being offered. If you appreciate the value of tefillin, you'd put them on? What's the question? A connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I just have to do this like that, and it's a connection to Hashem? Yeah, oh, that's amazing, I'll do that. So if a person doesn't appreciate it, though, and again, the Alter Rebbe's stress here is each of us in our own way who are striving to be a Beinoni, I have to ask myself, do I really appreciate the Torah? Do I really appreciate the mitzvahs? Am I actually going out of my way to engage in a battle on the inside that nobody else can see? That I'm the only one who knows if I'm really waging the battle? Am I doing it? I should be of lowly spirit in front of everybody. Who knows where I would be if I had the challenges of that guy? Who knows what would have become of me? Now, where's the simcha here? I said this was the Kavod Rosh Chodesh Adar, no? Where's the simcha? What does this have to do with simcha? Continues, by the way, the next chapter, 31. Well, I think it might have something to do with knowing your place. At the beginning of the parak, I thought I was great. Right away, v'hevi shval ruach. And I said, really? Come on. B'fnechol ha'adam, really? But I'm so much more accomplished spiritually. I'm so much more advanced. Kal shel b'kalim, really? Even that? I'm sure you didn't mean that. I'm willing to be shfal ruach before Rosh Hashiva, other great people. A bal tzedakah. But in front of everybody. Stalteb has a whole arichos. Yeah, for sure. And the whole arichos of why? Because of the melchama going on. Are you really waging a battle? How would you do if you were in his situation? Humility. Knowing your place. It's not just about the performance. It's about the effort. It's about what's going on the inside. So, in a sense, we might say that step one towards simcha is knowing your place. The effort is precious. I don't always have to succeed, but I have to put forth the effort. I have to work hard. That's the beginning towards simcha. Humility, knowing your place. Comments, questions? And of course, I don't know, of course, but we might add as well that being that it's a leap year and there's two Adars, the famous Chassid Javart, that means there's 60 days of Adar. So we get a unique koyach this year to be bottled b'shishim in the 60 days of Adar. To be bottled, to taka b'shval ruach, in front of everybody, even the Kal Shabakal. There's an extra added koyach in a shonam uberes to become bottled. Not to think of myself all the time. Maybe a little bit less. I heard from Rabbi Manus Friedman that humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less, meaning less often. Just don't think about yourself as often. That's already humility. It's a step in the right direction. Anyway, that's not the topic over here, but I thought I'd throw that in. So we should be zoichet to have the bracha of Bitul B'Shishim this year specifically, and b'makayim v'hevish v'alruch b'fnecha la'adam, and ishbim v'teich simcha l'chaim. See you guys next week. Questions, comments before we finish? Okay. Until next time.